guests from around the world.
That is absurd.
These are Mad Radio's Mad Takes on Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Michael Kendricks is an NFL linebacker. Kylie Wong is in studio with us, former Texan, current Stanford Cardinal Hall of Famer. Michael Kendricks has been charged with insider trading. The Browns cut him during Hard Knocks a few weeks ago. He's now signing a one-year deal with the Seahawks. Sounds like he's going to play maybe as soon as this weekend. Here's my take. I think the Browns shouldn't have actually released him, although I kind of cut them some slack because there's a real chance he may have like lied or deceived them about the nature of this charge. But I believe that white-collar crime is a really big deal. But in this context, him playing football is not going to harm anybody. And so I support the Seahawks signing Michael Kendricks. I like it.
Okay, if you're saying it's not going to harm anybody, I guess that boils back to the policy on, say, marijuana smoking. And who are the victims in that?
Kind of like that.
Yeah.
A little bit like
so
that.
So, okay, because you would support it.
But like, let's say there's a banker who is accused of some white-collar crime. I'm not going to sit here and say you should keep him in his job because then he could go on hurting way more people.
Right,
this case, what Kendricks is hurting, you know, society or the stock market, it's not going to come in the context of him playing football on Sundays.
You know what my mad take is? That the worst take of the week was you teasing this by saying this is going to be some huge controversial
take. Paul disagrees.
Like, oh, no. Oh, boy. This is going to be controversy. A white-collar criminal who committed a crime allegedly that most people don't even understand what the hell he actually did is going to be playing for the NFL.
The whole thing is fascinating to me. Yeah. I mean, I think the bigger story, and I think he should continue playing football as well. I agree with you. It's not like he's sitting at a desk. It's not like he's working for a hedge fund. The fact that he did four different companies this way.
Was it four?
It was four. I believe it's four different different trades that he made his, allegedly $1.5 million off of. The fact that Gordon Gekko is looking for, you know, the Wall Street, the movie Wall Street. Gordon Gekko was just looking for just the guy to come up with one in a year. Yeah. This guy comes up with four different companies that gets insider trading on. Like, blows my mind.
Honestly, I'm a little disappointed that he only made $1.5 million. He could have,
well, clearly
he
wasn't worth it.
He for sure have pulled more people into your scheme. And you could have made a lot more.
I mean, he's made like $20 or $25 million in the NFL. This is terrible value.
Absolutely.
When you compare the risk.
The stupidest thing ever.
Now, Paul, you disagree a little bit on this.
Look, I'm not mad about Kendricks getting a job. I really don't care. My thing is, the NFL is more concerned about distractions than actual criminals. Like, he's an actual criminal. He admitted to it. You know, like that's the thing here.
He did admit to it.
It's not like there's any illegal process going on here.
It's not like the NFL's
actively admitted to it.
Conclusions, right? Yeah,
right,
but this is the CBA. Whenever you get mad at whatever a policy is, you got to also look at the players and say, all right, this is the policy you guys all agreed to.
But certain distractions that could easily be used in gadget packages as a backup, like we saw last night.
What if you find out that like a week into his stay there, he's like pulling players into a scheme? Kylie, I don't know. The big one when I was playing was, one, there was a phone card scheme that a bunch of guys got duped on. Two, there was this guy that was going around to churches and claiming that some rich dude was selling his estate or leaving his estate to churches, and that people were going to be able to buy Benzes for like brand new Mercedes Benzes for $5,000 a piece. I knew a few guys that got wrapped up in that.
Yeah.
And then Fred Taylor just got flat out money stolen from him by his agent. His agent just took his money.
Yeah, we were on the team when they were buying Bentleys, and we're like, dude, how much did you buy that Bentley for? You can't buy a Bentley for that much money.
Yeah,
or they even bought homes. You know, like, remember there was that same scam.
And you probably had, like, you've got some guy on the team telling you you're an idiot for missing out on this. And you're like, all right, man, maybe I'm an idiot. But listen, this does not smell right.
This is not right.
And then 6 months later, he's, like, begging you to let you wash your windshield.
The old adage, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
This is madness.
I don't know. I mean, pretty much every time I have sex, I feel like, this is too good to be true. But it is.
Let's go
real.
With financial
it's
matters.
Real.
Yeah.
How many people wanted to know what Mark Wahlberg's daily schedule is?
I'm vaguely interested.
I actually am interested in this.
So he humble bragged this out on his Instagram story.
He put his schedule out there.
His typical daily schedule. At 2:30 in the morning, he wakes up.
BS.
At 2:45 in the morning, he prays. 3:15, 30 minutes later, he eats breakfast.
Mm.
From 3:40 to 5:15, he works out.
I believe that.
At 5:30, he has his post-workout meal.
Okay.
6 a.m., he showers.
Yeah.
7:30 he golfs. That's a long shower.
Is this just one particular day, or is this his average day?
This is, I think, his average day.
Okay, so 7:30 a.m. he golfs. Okay.
8 a.m. he snacks.
So during the round of golf, apparently,
I suppose golf. Yes, okay. Because maybe.
Well, he has a snack. Yeah, because he's bodybuilding. Like he's eating six times a day. I'm sure. Yeah.
There's an hour and a half window between snack and cryo chamber recovery.
So there you go, Kylie. They do that at Athletic
Room.
Love
the shout out right there.
Check out theathleticroom.com. You can do the Mark Wahlberg treatment. Mark Wahlberg does not endorse this message.
At 10:30, he has another snack. And there's amazing the amount of snacks that are listed into the schedule, though. It's just funny the way that it's
listed. Paul, you're a guy that's trying to beef up. You should be snacking as often as you should be having your protein shake.
I am snacking.
Okay.
11 a.m., family time / meetings / work calls.
Oh, that's nice that you put family first, even though you've definitely only taken work calls.
Family first at 11 in the morning after waking up at 2:30.
He already said he dropped the kids off at 7:30, but it's family time.
Right.
1 o'clock, lunch. 2 o'clock, meetings and work calls. 3 o'clock, he picks up the kids at school. 3:30, snack. 4 o'clock, workout number two. 5 o'clock, shower. 5:30, dinner and family time. And 7:30, bedtime.
Well, that's why he left the Super Bowl early, because usually he's used to going to bed early.
He was grumpy, he was tired. I can appreciate that. God, I'd like to point out one thing in that super busy schedule of his. There was, and this is with slashes in it, 2 actual hours of work. He works a 2-hour day.
He works a two-hour day.
He's like, look at me grinding away up at 2:30 a.m. You work 2 hours, you lazy bum.
At any point, you can just say, I'm going to skip golf. I'm going to take a nap today. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Very flexible schedule.
By the way, I don't know if I'm buying any of that.
I don't either.
I don't know if I'm buying that. I don't know if he could get away with getting up 2:30 a.m. every day and going to bed at 7 p.m. is in Hollywood, where you're going to have some dinner meetings. You're going to be on movie shoots and everything. Like, I don't buy that. I think he wants you to buy that. I also think he works more than 2 hours a day. That dude busts his ass.
I don't think he gets up and prays. I think he sleeps in a little longer.
He is supposedly pretty Christian. He got like a turnaround a few years ago.
Yeah. 2:30. Yeah, I don't buy that. I think the only person waking up at that hour is Robert Brazil. I think that's about it. Nobody else wakes up that early, even Sunday.
Other than people like have to be at work at 3 a.m.
Yes, a shift worker.
The New Jersey Division of Gaming Enforcement on Wednesday released its monthly revenue figures, reporting a total handle of $95.6 million and a gross revenue of $9.18 million for the sportsbooks across 7 licensed New Jersey sportsbooks that reported on the month of operations. Can I tell you something? That doesn't seem like all that much when you look across an entire state and like the actual revenue. So if those sports books are reporting gross revenue of $9.18 million, the state of New Jersey is not going to end up getting like a huge chunk of cash at all.
Is that for a month?
For a month.
For a month?
That's amazing.
Like relative to
there is one bookie that can do that in a week. You know what I mean? That's not very much at all.
It's not a lot, especially compared to what you're doing. Now, look, they're just getting rolling on this, and they're making the transition. I think people see these numbers, and I'm like, okay. But I don't like that they report the total amount betted, because that's not revenue. Like, you're not taking that. You're taking 9 to 10% of that.
Yeah, that's just gross.
So they're like, they're taking in $9.81 million per month, which, again, when you look at it like a state budget and the taxes they're going to get off of that, doesn't feel like a whole bunch.
Yeah, I mean, I was at a conference a few months ago after the Supreme Court decision, and the whole thing that you're going to have to try to figure out is how much the states tax gambling, because in Las Vegas, like, the nut is not that, like, it's just not that big on sports gambling. So you have to make sure the taxes are reasonable. Some of the states that put out proposals were, like, way, way too high for people who are involved in sports gambling.
Kylie, do you ever bet on sports at all?
Never.
Yeah.
I would more often. Well, I will more often.
Don't place your bets with Landry. You know Landry?
Yeah.
Landry took a bunch of people's cash to Vegas and then didn't place all the bets. It's been a big...
To clarify, he placed all the bets of the audience. He did not place Lopez's bet on A&M to cover against Clemson last week, which they covered by 10.
So he cost... So how much money did he cost Lopez?
He cost Lopez $80.
Oh, that's not bad then. All right.
Well, but it's a nice meal.
That's a lot of money.
Did he Did he pay him back the $80
Well,
he paid him back.
Why
did Larry even say anything?
He paid him back. He paid him back the amount of the bet, which is $100
Right.
But he didn't pay him back what the winnings would have been.
See, I would have just definitely, even though even in my poorest of poorest days, I would have just I would have credit card advanced $80 and given it to him and just I told him everything went fine.
That's a bet. $80 are owed. That's a significant amount of money. And as someone who is still owed $100 by Alfred Williams, who once came in here and forced me to make a bet with him on who would have more wins, the Texans or Dolphins, because I called the Dolphins a bunch of frauds. I said the Texans, and I'm still waiting for those $100. With interest, that is now $200.
Was that the year that DJ Swearinger...
25%.
Was that the year that DJ Swearinger busted that tight end's knee in preseason?
I think it was the first... I want to say it was 2015, so is that 4 years ago? 3 years ago?
I think it was...
The year that the Dolphins, I think, murdered the Texans, actually, too.
Well, so 2015. That year, I talked a lot of smack about the Dolphins, too, because they were whining and complaining and everything, and then the Dolphins ended up outplaying the Texans that year.
By a significant margin.
That was when I was, oh, this is too long. This is 5.5 minutes of me going off on Brian Hartline from the Dolphins.
That's a long
so
clip.
So to get us lathered up today...
It's too long.
To get us, all lathered up.
Yeah, we'll do it. I'll play it later.
All right, so real quick.
I called Brian Hartline a bunch of names, including like a little punk and a little coward and all this stuff. And then I got played heavily in South Florida that week. I had to stay off Twitter for about a week.
You would have been seen in South Florida.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly,
you would have been noticed. Don't
you're
I know
enemy.
You?
Yeah.
You're that guy. Yeah, you're that one guy that just, you know, talks a bunch of smack.
About a bad wide receiver.
Yep. The Athletic Room, theathleticroom.com, and you guys, your services are... Cryotherapy, compression therapy. What else do you guys have going
on? We also have former athletic trainers. So we have former athletic trainers from the Dynamo, from the Texans.
Awesome.
That basically work with you one-on-one, kind of helping you stretch, or they actually stretch you, right? So you lay there. It's like yoga on a table where you don't have to do anything.
Yes. Yes.
So it's awesome. It's relaxing. It's an alternative to massage. And it's very, very restorative, very good for you. We also have compression. We have a number of things, anything you could imagine, and we're actually even adding more.
And I was skeptical of your stretching because I've been through like various stretching regimens, and I'm like, all right, yeah, I know what you're gonna do, and it's gonna suck, and I'm like, oh no, I actually felt like looser and more limber afterwards, and it was enjoyable,
dude,
instead of miserable.
We have an amazing picture of you.
Oh, you
doing,
do?
Yeah,
that
doing the you were doing the splits,
yeah,
like up the wall afterwards.
Yeah,
like,
it was like I'm pretty limber,
you
but
are,
you guys yeah, like me made me super limber.
Yeah, you were.
I was
all,
like a taut Swedish gymnast.
Theathleticroom.com again. Check it out.
What's your new stuff coming?
The new stuff we have coming. We actually are bringing in kind of the local localized cryotherapy. So you know, we can do our kind of the facials and then just any acute issues. So like a particular elbow. Or a knee.
Yeah.
And then my wife's actually...
Did you shrink down Paul's clackers? He won't stop bragging about how big they are.
No, not bragging. They're obtrusive.
Okay. I don't want to think about that.
And my wife's actually rolling out a kind of a product line that will target fat. So to help you with trouble spots.
I don't know. Which I don't need that.
So, yeah, you don't... You got, none of you guys
I don't know why you're looking at me when
you
say that. You like swiveled your head and looked right at me.
Yeah.
Targets fat,
com.
Seth.
He is a former Texan, former Viking, and Stanford Hall of Famer. Kylie Wong, we'll chat next week.
Awesome. Thanks,
guys.
Thanks for having me.
Kylie Wong on a Football Friday.